If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 as we close our series in this book. Habakkuk chapter 3, as Josh read, I'm going to read them again. Look up on the screen, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, for your word is true. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by you. God, give strength. Give power to the very words that come out of my mouth. Holy Spirit, you change the very words so that I would get out of the way and that your word would be the power that comes forth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want to give a little sermonette, if I could, about the country that we are in. I love my country. And I am proud to be an American. But here's why I believe there is such hatred and anger at where we are at as a country. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, or Independent, we are worshiping our leaders. As gods. And our ideology as Savior in our life. I want you to think about this, church. We think that what our leader says and what they do will save us. And thus we show an unbelieving world where our trust really is. Whatever you think of Trump's victory, understand this. There is a large group of people that aren't feeling very good. Our interracial unity must matter within the body of Christ. And it must matter more than whether you're a Democrat or a Republican and what that policy stands for. We must care more about people than our political party. We need to spend as much time as we are on Fox News and CNN in the Word of God. We are raising a generation of kids that are scared because parents have taught them that the world offers them everything. And if they don't get it, okay, moving on. That was a sermonette. As Paul Harvey used to say, now the rest of the story. There was a song that was in 1988. It was featured in the movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise. It became the one-hit wonder of all one-hit wonders. See if you can recognize it. This is our closing song, by the way.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note.
Forgive me for having that song in your head for the rest of the day. It's been in my head since Thursday. Just in case you weren't sure, the Bible has a lot to say about worry. Not just Bobby McFerrin. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do not be anxious, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor sow. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we come to the conclusion of the conversation between Habakkuk and God. This man of God had questions for God and about the circumstances that he was in. We read how God answered him, as he does all of us if we read God's word, which lead to a final chapter, a prayer. Chapter 3 is this prayer of Habakkuk, someone that went from worrying to worshiping, as Warren Wiersbe said. This triumphant conclusion can be yours, High Point. For we worship and we serve the very covenant-making God, as Habakkuk does. You, like Habakkuk, can believe truly in God amidst your terrible circumstances. To not worry, but be happy. You can say like Habakkuk, I'm not going to go through the motions. I'm going to live for you, God. So let's look at these circumstances, can we? Look at verse 17 with me again. It says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields will have no food, the flock will be cut off, and there will be no herd in the stalls. So in other words, though things aren't going to be very sweet in my life, the context of Habakkuk is this. Babylon is going to invade Judah. And so what Habakkuk is referring to is what he knows about Babylon, is in that when they invade a nation, they wipe it clean. There is nothing left after Babylon invades you. They burn your fields so that you have no food. They take all of your animals so that you have no food. They burn your dwellings so that you have nowhere to live, and thus you have to rely on them. Habakkuk knew very well what was about to take place. He knew things were going to be very difficult. Now Habakkuk could dwell and worry about these things and how they were going to happen, because he knew that God's word was true. When God said it, it was going to take place. So what can we learn from Habakkuk in these final verses? What can we learn about Habakkuk's prayer? Well, the first thing that Habakkuk said is this, and I pray that it would be in our lives as well. Habakkuk says, "My joy is in the Lord, not my circumstances." Look at verse 18a. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Yet. This word is clearly a term of contrast. Whenever you encounter terms like yet or but, you should always pause and ask yourself a few questions like, what is being contrasted? Why is there a change of direction? This yet is one of the most beautiful and meaningful of all words in Scripture. We see something like this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, when Paul uses the contrast but. When he says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us." Thank goodness for that contrast. Yet, Habakkuk says, he will rejoice. The word literally means to exalt God. It literally carries the meaning of jumping for joy. Do you see the action there? You can't jump for joy laying down in your bed, moping. You have to move to jump for joy. And that's exactly what God did in Habakkuk's life. He says, "I will rejoice, I will exalt, I will jump for joy." Habakkuk makes the choice to rejoice even in the face of imminent judgment. Habakkuk says, "My joy, the reason I can get out of bed, the reason I can put feet to my action, is because I am in the Lord, not in my circumstances." The second thing that I can see, it's found in part B of verse 18. Habakkuk says, "My salvation is in the Lord, not my circumstances." Look at part B of that verse in 18. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." That's part A. Part B, "I will take joy in the God of my salvation." I will take joy, Habakkuk says. The literal meaning is to spin around. So we got a man who's jumping up and down and spinning around. This guy's crazy. Listen, to rejoice in the God of our salvation, the very source and sphere of our joy is in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said this in reference to this verse. He says, "Joy in God is the happiest of all joys. In fact, joy ceases to be joy when it ceases to be in the Lord. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice, what? In the Lord, always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Billy Graham said this. He says, we have to be tuned in to God. We will never be free from discouragement and despondency until we know and walk with the very fountainhead of joy. Listen to me. Until you have found your true joy in Jesus Christ, you will never, ever, ever find lasting joy and peace. If this concept of joy in the midst of a terrible circumstances is foreign to you, I need you to understand something. It's what we've been singing about. You must see the cross of Jesus Christ this very way. It is a terrible way to die. Yet it's the way to give you life. Suffering and pain by Jesus Christ is what brings you peace and joy. When you are first born again and understanding that your faith and trust must be in Jesus' work on the cross, no matter what circumstance you are in, you find joy. You jump for joy. You spin around in joy at your salvation. Listen, for many of you, maybe you went through hard circumstances which God used to draw you to your knees and understand that your sin before a holy God needs to be forgiven in Jesus Christ. And you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ had done, your circumstances didn't change. But for many of you, for all of you who have put your faith and trust in Christ, your joy did. See, that's what Habakkuk is saying. He's saying, my salvation in the Lord is what is important, not my circumstances. Is your salvation in the Lord, or is it in your works? Habakkuk is jumping for joy, spinning around, acting like a crazy man, because he knew where he was going when he died. So how? Right? How? How's this going to happen in my life? Pastor Greg, my life is down the tubes. I know Jesus, but my circumstance, you just don't get it. You don't know what I'm going through. So what are you telling me? Are you telling me I need to pick up my bootstraps? Dust off my feet? Just struggle with it? No, look at Habakkuk in our last point. Habakkuk tells us this: my confidence is in the Lord, not my circumstances. Look at verse 19 with me. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on the high places. God, the Lord, is my strength. This is not a choice of mind over matter, but a reflection of who God is. Habakkuk had come to understand he needed God's strength to be on the high place. Listen, I understand that this concept, this truth, is hard to grasp. But it's still true. The Almighty God Himself will become your strength. It's not this. Listen to me. It's not that God is lending Habakkuk strength, but that God Himself is his strength. Do you understand that? The people of God understood this. Look at Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Look at Paul again in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. G. Campbell Morgan said this, our joy is in proportion to our trust in God. Think about that. Your joy is in proportion to your trust of who God is. Our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. Hence why we want to study God's word. Amen. To know Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to triumph and to excel. May we be led into fuller knowledge and so find fuller faith and so enter the fuller joy. Habakkuk understood that his confidence was in the Lord, not his strength, but that God would be his strength. Listen to what he says. He says, makes my feet like a deer. A deer is a sure-footed animal. Make their ways up mountain cliffs and weird things because of their hooves. They are able to make up really high places, dangerous terrain. What Habakkuk is alluding to here is that God will provide you the same security as you're going through hard paths. God will give you. God will be your strength if you trust Him. Look at Psalm 18. David said this. He says, He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure in the heights. See, Habakkuk had read things like this. He understood what it meant, like David, in the midst of his trials that he was going through during the time of him and Saul. He understood, David understood, men of God understood that the strength comes from the Lord. It says He makes me tread on high places. Again, a direct reference to what Moses said about Israel in Deuteronomy 33. He says, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. The shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. He makes me tread on high places. Sure-footedness is what Habakkuk is saying. He's not going to let you stumble. God's strength will not cause you to stumble. Isn't this what Jude said in verse 24 and 25? Now to Him who is able to keep you from what? Stumbling. And to present you blameless before the presence of His glory and great joy. Habakkuk would trust God, though the coming hour of judgment and his circumstances was going to take place no matter what. And yet he rejoiced. He took joy in the Lord. He rejoiced in his salvation, and he understood his strength is in the Lord. Listen to me as we conclude. And this is important, high point. We can teach all the theology on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or small groups. Anytime we gather around God's Word, even in the theology program that Chris teaches, and we can teach you everything we can about God's Word. You can have the greatest theology mind in this whole room, but when circumstances hit you like a 2x4, your practical theology will come out. What you really believe about God's Word will come out. You can learn all these principles about God and His Word, but your practical theology tells you what you believe. Ask yourself, how am I responding to my trial today? God's desire is for you to have a heart centered on the cross. Listen, Habakkuk's circumstances weren't going to change, but he absolutely found joy. He put his feet, one foot in front of the other. He jumped for joy, and he spun around because he knew his God was true. Do you? Whether it's a troubled marriage, crappy job, friends that are mean to you, a loved one who might be sick or dying, what is your practical theology? Do you believe God? Habakkuk did. And this is why he had joy and confidence. I have so loved this short little 3-chapter book. The timing of this could not be any more perfect, I believe, in the circumstances that all of us find ourselves. My prayer is that not just every time you hear the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," you'll think of Habakkuk. But when then that trial comes in your life, your strength will be in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, personally, I've learned so much from Habakkuk. You are a good God. And you desire for us to talk to you, to ask questions in faith. And Lord, we have to trust that you are working always and even behind the scenes. That, Lord, sin will be judged. That you hate sin. And so should we. And we believe who you are, God. We desire that our head knowledge would become a heart knowledge, what would become a practical knowledge, what would just flow from our lives, that we would be examples to a world that does not trust you. That we would truly be salt and light in a community and in a country and in a world that has put their faith and trust in world leaders. May that not be so with the Church of God. For it is truly for your glory that we live until you call us home. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, please stand.